You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We're the football dudes and it's time to take a little trip. Dave, are you ready, bro?
You got that right, my friend. Oh, yeah.
All right, then. Our next stop, The Trend Zone. In today's episode, we got a quarterback looking to make his first start in a couple weeks. We're going to take a peek at the trade deadline coming up in a couple of weeks as well. A little survivor, our fantasy go-back starts of the week, and some of the most awesome games from the upcoming week. But, Dave, we don't take a trip to the zone, bro, without some dank nugs. Lay the nuggage on the people.
All right, man. No lead is safe in this NFL, it appears. It was the Colts last weekend overcoming a 21-point deficit to beat the Bengals. But this is, Casey, 2020, the first season in NFL history in which at least one team has overcome a deficit of 16 or more points and won each of the first 6 weeks, man. I'll tell you, that is crazy. I know the Falcons coughed up two 16-point leads, and I know as well that my beloved Chargers have coughed up two 17-point leads to come away with a big loss.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Not easy to do, but Dave, you found a way to get it done, and that's what matters.
Determination, man. That's how you get it done.
You know, lost in that mix is how well Justin Herbert's playing. You guys got him at the top of the draft.
Yep.
But the quarterback that went before him looks like he's going to make his debut in a couple weeks, bro.
Yeah, that is right. Tua got a little action last week, the fifth overall pick in last year's draft. And he looks like he's the starting guy. And I think it mostly wasn't the performance last week where he completed two passes. It was more the timing here when they're heading into the bye. That gives them a lot of time, a lot of reps with that starting unit and everything. And I think that's kind of a typical thing. You look to get that guy the best opportunity. The team is playing good football right now. They're 3-3 and sitting in there, in competition to win that division. So they're putting him in a good situation, man.
Yeah, and they say they really love what he's been showing in practice.
Yeah.
And Dave, at 3-3, those Dolphins would be all alone in first place in the NFC East.
Oh, yes, Casey. Well, the NFC East is, how shall we say, really bad. They are 5-18-1 as a division, dude, and lots of injuries throughout that division. I mean, you take a look at the Eagles, for example, you've lost virtually the entire offensive line, two receivers, two tight ends, a running back, all banged up right now. You look at the Giants, dude. It's obvious, like Saquon Barkley, Mr. Everything there, banged up, but also Sterling Shepard as well. A lot of injuries in this division, not to mention another team with a star on the side of their helmet, Casey.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys say, hold my beer if you want to talk about injuries, bro. The complete offensive line, both tackles, the guard, Zach Martin, went out on Monday night. Joe Looney, who was going to step in at center for the retired Travis Frederick, he's gone. Blake Jarwin is gone. Gerald McCoy is gone. Vander Esch came back on Monday night. Didn't look like it. And that's all not even mentioning Dak Prescott, who's going to be gone for the rest of the season. So many injuries with these Cowboys, dude.
Yeah.
But the way they're playing, you can't put it on just the injuries. I mean, that's a big part of why they're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not getting good play hardly out of anybody. And Monday night was a complete disaster, bro.
Oh, man, no doubt about it. I mean, they're giving up a ton of points defensively, on track to give up more points than any defense in NFL history, Casey. And then you've got news coming out of Cowboy camp that anonymous players are making some comments against this coaching staff, Casey. Our coaching staff is, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have a sense of adjusting on the fly. And they just aren't good at their jobs. So I don't know. They're not really beating around the bush here, but they're not putting their names to these quotes, Casey. But it doesn't sound good, that atmosphere there right now.
No, and it doesn't look good either, and it doesn't look like anybody's really good at their jobs. I mean,
yeah.
Zeke Elliott had two fumbles on Monday night, which gave the Cardinals a 14-point lead. Dude, 12 turnovers on the year. Teams have scored 84 points off of those turnovers. You had 12 points a game to one of the worst defenses of all time. It's no wonder that they're sitting there, you know, losing week in and week out. They really didn't give Andy Dalton a chance with those two Zeke turnovers last night. Questionable call and interception, but not the there's no inventive play calling on offense, too. It's just bad all the way around. Jalen Smith looked terrible on Monday night, too. Nobody is playing hard. It doesn't look like there's a lot of effort going on. There's a couple guys here and there, but, you know, my defense, if I could me, I would put a safety 50 yards deep on every play. And just be like, you come up when you see the guy that's running past everybody else there, and maybe you can tackle him. It's not a lot of good, dude, and I don't want the Cowboys to win this stupid division. This team isn't going anywhere, even if they win this thing at 5-11. Dude, it's awful. This season's crap, and maybe it is a bad fit with the coaching hire that's been, you know, maybe it was Aaron Rodgers that made Mike McCarthy look like a good coach. I don't know. It's hard to see, especially with no offseason due to the COVID, but it's a hot mess in Dallas, dude, and there is nothing good going on down there.
Nothing good at all, Casey? But what about that rookie wide receiver you got there?
Well, maybe a little CeeDee Lamb. Besides that, not much is happening. And another positive, Randy Gregory coming off the commissioner's exempt list, so maybe he can add a little fire to that defense. I'll throw Alden Smith on there, too. But other than that, man, I'm ready to throw all of them off a bridge, though, Dave. You know, I got a bunch of big salaries on there. And with the trade deadline coming up in a few weeks, there might be a couple Cowboys that sneak onto that list. You can take those big salaries and put them on there. But, you know, in the past, the NFL hadn't done a lot of trades, but we've seen that change in the last couple of years.
Yeah, in fact, 11 trades in the 2 weeks leading up to the trade deadline last year. Some of the highlights were Jalen Ramsey being acquired by the Rams for two first-round draft picks, and then Emmanuel Sanders acquired by the 49ers. I think he was a pretty nice addition there in their quest to win the Super Bowl. Got him, kind of helped him get there. But, yeah, wow. I mean, we'll see how, you know, if any of that action means there'll be anything going on this year, because there's a lot of big names that could be moved.
Totally, dude. And if you want to look at the Jets, man, they are in total dysfunction right now.
Yeah.
Would they restart if they had the first pick in the draft? Would they already move Sam Darnold, man? And you might want to move him because Gase is destroying him and start fresh with everybody. And then you got to think about maybe Dwayne Haskins in Washington there. That's not Ron Rivera's problem. He's already been demoted to third string, so it might be time for him to fly as well. So it'll be interesting to watch this next couple of weeks.
Yeah, no doubt about that, dude. And another one I'll just throw out there. How about Atlanta with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones? They're a little older, and their caps are pretty huge, but it looks like they're basically starting on their complete and total rebuild there. And so you don't rebuild with older, more expensive players. I don't know with the cap hit going up to nearly $41 million next year for Matt Ryan, if that's anything palatable. Now that might be an off-season thing. Mm-hmm. But then Julio Jones, man, I mean, his contract is a little more absorbable at basically $22 million a year for 3 years. Maybe there's a way they can move Julio to a team that really looking for that starting wideout.
Packers, Green Bay Packers. Sorry, man.
Could the Packers have acquired one in the draft, Casey, at virtually no expense to the team comparatively?
Yeah.
There was only about 40 of them that were drafted, so I don't know, you know.
Wow, one of them could be in the mix now. Poor Packers, 4-1 problems. All right, Dave, let's move on to a little Survivor here. I had to sweat it. You mentioned it in the intro. I picked the Colts to beat the Bengals, and it took a while, but I eventually got that win to stay alive.
Yeah, and I had the Miami Dolphins over the New York Jets. The theme of take the team playing the Jets panning out for me there. That happened to be the most popular correct pick last week as well.
Yeah, dude. And if you took the Patriots, oh, sad face. That was the most popular incorrect pick, the Patriots over the Broncos.
Heading into next week, Casey, most popular pick so far, Buffalo over the Jets, the same theme.
Yes.
That's more than 45% of the people taking that. Buffalo on a two-game losing streak. Really not the best time for the Jets to host them, but or to face them here. So we'll see. That looks like a lock right there, dude.
Book it, baby. All right, it's time to go to our fantasy go-back starts of the week. Dave, how'd you do, bro?
Totally clean, mostly because I had four players on a bye, and I didn't really have any options hardly at all. So I barely squeaked by with my worst performance, but I did smoke the Green Bay Packers, so that's pretty good.
Cashing him right out of the playoff hunt. Well, out of the playoff hunt are my foul boys, too. I couldn't have done much. The Ronnie James Gorilla Sharks blasted me by 40 points, so I had a couple points here and there, but
brutal.
It would not have mattered. All right, Dave, let's get to the reality, the games that matter. We got some epic games coming up week 7. Dave, it's week 7, bro.
Dude, slipping away.
Slipping away.
Slipping away, man. Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's get it started, though, with an absolute blockbuster ball game between two undefeated teams, both sitting at 5-0. It's the Steelers at the Titans. Steelers on the road are favored by 1.5. The over-under's at 52 at this point in time. It's only the sixth contest in the Super Bowl era and just the eighth overall NFL game matching undefeated teams in week 7 or later. That's pretty amazing, but I mean 5-0 and 5-0, it is a big billing, man. This is going to be a good one.
Totally, and the COVID actually did us a favor on this game, pushing it at a couple weeks back in the schedule because we kind of see what these teams are. And man, I can't wait to see this game, dude. We know about the Steelers offense and Chase Claypool and how all this. I'm just going to talk about the defense, bro, because the Steelers are, I think, in my opinion, they are the best defense in the NFL. Last week against the Browns, 4 sacks and 2 interceptions. They joined the 85 Giants as the only team in NFL history to record at least 3 sacks and an interception each of the first 5 games of the season, dude.
Dang.
Impressive. Steelers have at least 1 sack, bro. 10.
Oh, they're coming at you from all angles.
And 7 different Steelers have at least 1 interception.
Wow.
Including Minkah Fitzpatrick with a pick six on Baker last week. This guy can play all over the field, man. This looking better and better, getting this guy away from the Dolphins there. And that's the Steelers a couple weeks ago struggled on third down against the Eagles. That wasn't the case against the Browns. Kept the Brownies on 1 for 12 on third downs. But, Dave, you might be asking yourself, can they stop the run? Yeah. They can stop the damn run. Cleveland came in averaging over 188 yards a game on the ground. They got just 75 yards on the ground against the Steelers at just over 3 yards a carry.
Oof.
The Steel Curtain, dude, only giving up 66 yards a game on the ground, only giving up 19 points a game as well.
Nice.
If there's any bad news, they lost Devin Bush. But as the Steelers and Mike Tomlin always say, next guy up. That's actually true with the Steelers. They'll put some talent there. And this defense, man, that run defense is going to be tested on Sunday, dude.
Yes, they will, obviously, with Derrick Henry and the Titans coming in, because that is what their game plan is going to be. You need to take the ball and run it against the Steelers, against anybody when you're the Titans with Derrick Henry. But let me start with this. First of all, last week, a fantastic performance out of these Titans to get the win in overtime. Tannehill on the season, dude, over 70%. So it's not, a myth or anything. Since he's been there, he's been phenomenal, dude. He's got 113.6 passer rating on the season. That's third in the NFL. Last week, passing for 364 yards and 4 TDs. Yeah, they ran like crazy over the Texans, but that's a crap load of passing, man. This guy was cranking it. He's going for his third straight game with 3-plus TD passes and 120 rating. So he's just an absolute on an absolute tear. But on an absolute tear is Derrick Henry, dude. 264 scrimmage yards last week. I mean, this guy is an absolute beast. And 2 touchdowns. You know what? He's the first player in NFL history with 200-plus rushing yards in three straight seasons, so a 200-yard game. And, you know, you just got to be an exceptional back to get there even once in your whole career. But him to do it once a year, basically, I mean, this guy is an absolute beast. And as the game gets longer, he runs harder and people bounce off him. He gets more yards after tackle, after contact, than most backs have at all. So it's ridiculous.
Wow.
He's leading the NFL in rushing yards at nearly 606 TDs he's got as well in the season, man. So phenomenal. A.J. Brown has been banged up a lot of this season, but had five catches, 56 yards, and two touchdowns last week. I guess you could say he's back.
He's back!
You know, Adam Humphreys also a nice game last week with six catches, including a touchdown. And Jonnu Smith is one of the premier tight ends, really. You know, he's leading with five touchdowns on the season. So pretty awesome performance and a lot of weapons there. On defense, you know, they got obviously a handful of name guys in Jadeveon Clowney, but Jeffrey Simmons on the defensive line. It's a stout group. They're sort of statistically average, but for some reason they seem to always make timely plays, and they do get a handful of sacks. This team is plus six on the giveaway takeaway with nine takeaways as part of that equation. So they don't give the ball up, and they get the ball, and that's a way to win when you're playing good defense and running.
Yeah, dude, and one of the most successful coaches off of that Belichick coaching tree, Mike Vrabel, dude.
Yeah.
This team is picking up his identity, man. Strong and smart. And last week, bringing that 12th guy on the field to stop the clock against the Texans.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Saving him time.
Brilliant clock management.
Yeah. So we'll look to the NFL to change that. But the guy
for
is
sure
on the pulse, and his team is fighting and playing good. And it's pretty damn exciting. Dave, speaking of those Patriots, we got a big game coming up. The 49ers at the Patriots. The Patriots are 2.5-point favorites at home with an over-under of 45.5.
Yeah, and the Niners are coming off that rebound win against our Los Angeles Rams last week. Obviously, the Niners have had a lot of injuries on the season, and they've sort of a little bit weathered the storm. Obviously, getting Jimmy G back, when he tried to come in a couple of weeks ago, he just wasn't ready. But last week he was, and it was a pretty nice performance, 268 yards and three touchdowns. So that was shows that I think he's back. He's feeling better. Jerick McKinnon, with Mostert banged up, he's been doing a good job filling in there. So those two guys combined make a 1-2 punch that's pretty solid. They can run the football, man. And of course, when you have a guy like Kittle, he's a huge weapon in the ground game, but also in the running game, because he's a great blocker, but I mean, obviously a great receiver. Just constantly, just one of the
he's
mismatches.
Unstoppable, dude.
Yeah, one
he's
of the absolute mismatches in the league.
And he plays so hard on
every play,
whether he's blocking or going out. Just love watching that dude play, and I hate the Niners.
Yeah, and Debo Samuel, touchdown last week. Brandon Ayuk got his first touchdown catch last week. That's his third of the season, so he's run a couple in as well. Defensively, the defense is pretty strong. They're fifth in total yards, 10th in points per game at just 21.7. Fred Warner, a tackling machine. You know, Eric Armstead up front. There's plenty of talent on the defense, you know. And one guy I want to mention, Jason Verrett. He's struggled with injury, a former Charger. Former Charger, thank you. Struggle with injury, but it's really good to see him back. When he has been healthy, he's an exceptional talent at cornerback.
Sure.
And he got a pick last week, so I'm glad to see that. I just want him to make it through the season. I don't care if he gets picks or not. The guy has unbelievable skill, but he just cannot stay healthy. So I've got my fingers crossed for that dude.
Dude, these Patriots, man, last week they looked like a team that hadn't practiced in 2 weeks.
Yep.
You know, just kind of out of sorts, had some very costly mistakes on offense. Two Cam interceptions, a fumble. He was sacked four times. Only 30% on third down. Very unpatriot-like all the way around. Now, Cam did get it going on the ground over 75 yards, but he was the only one. They got to get more from the other guys, White, Harris, and Burkhead.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys combined for 41 yards on 15 carries. Not good. That's why the offense struggled. But as always, dude, the defense was very good. They held Locked under 200 yards passing, picked him twice, and held the Broncos to only field goals, six of them. But there was a couple that they kicked from inside the 20. So great job on the defense, not getting much help from the offense. And it felt like if the Patriots had a little more time, they were going to come back and get that game. Mm-hmm. The interesting matchup here is we'll see if the hoodie has any intel on Jimmy G. He kept anything in his little satchel there. this is going to be a tough game. And dropping that, the Patriots are sitting at 2-3, and two of their next three games are against the Bills and the Ravens. So this is a game they kind of have to have. So a very interesting matchup.
Wow, that is a tough schedule stretch right now for this Patriots team.
Well, they get the Jets in there, so at least it's
feel good. Okay. All right, dude. Up next, another big game. It is the Buccaneers at the Raiders. The Bucs are favored on the road in this one by 3. The Tom Brady's, this one's over under, is 53.5, Casey.
Dave, I'm going to take you back to a time long ago, January 19th, 2002. It was my birthday, and you didn't even get me anything, Dave. I'm
sorry,
still mad about
that. Yeah, that really did get you there, didn't it?
Yeah, but it was a snowy evening at Foxborough Stadium. A young Tom Brady sitting back in the pocket. Sack, fumble, game over. Raiders moving on to the Super Bowl. The tuck rule, bro.
There's a penalty.
The tuck rule. Turned out just to be a sack. Brady got the ball back, and the Patriots would end up winning that game 16-13 in overtime to send Tom Brady to his first career playoff win en route to his first Super Bowl win over the St. Louis Rams. That was a long time ago, but Gruden has not forgotten it. I wouldn't doubt if Chucky still has pictures of Tom Brady in his dark room where he's trying to get all these things. He still wants revenge for that. And the Bucs are getting better on offense. Ronald Jones has been awesome the last few weeks. They need to get these receivers healthy, man. It's been in and out. Evans has been hurt. Godwin's been hurt. But if they can get these guys healthy, and they're starting to work Gronk in on the offense as well. But, Dave, it's this defense, man, this Todd Bowles defense.
Absolutely.
That is playing lights out, bro. They lead the NFL in fewest yards per game, fewest yards allowed per play, fewest rushing yards allowed per game, and fewest first downs allowed per game. Oh, and they have 11 takeaways, dude. Yeah. This defense is solid. Last week, they held the Packers to 10 points, bro.
Wow.
So, very aggressive defense, and I think this
dominated
team,
the Packers last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that one sack, I just keep playing it over. Sue blasted Aaron Rodgers, man. He launched about 6 yards in the air. So, very aggressive all around. I think this team can be super explosive on both sides of the ball. They had a pick six last week, too. When's the last time you heard Aaron Rodgers throwing a pick six, man?
Right.
So if they can just get those guys healthy on offense and keep developing, man, I think this team is going to make some hay come December.
No doubt about it, dude. And they're rounding in shape. Like you said, that offense can do a boatload, too. But let's talk about these Raiders, their opponent for this week. They're coming off a bye. And the week before that, they had the huge win against Kansas City. So they're feeling pretty good about themselves right now. But I'm a little worried about this Raiders squad because their points for, points against is almost identical. In fact, they have 30.2 points for and 30.4 points against. So they're actually losing that differential. But in the giveaway takeaway, they are -4, and that includes 6 fumbles along the way there. So don't want to get into a situation where you lose the turnover ratio to a team that's, with that Tampa Bay defense, what they can do with the ball when they get it. Derek Carr, though, has played a nice season. He leads the NFL with a 73.1 completion percentage. And he has just one pick, so he's done a pretty good job, obviously avoiding the pick there. So last game, which was, of course, against the Kansas City Chiefs, 347 yards and 3 touchdowns for a season-high 126 rating. So he's feeling really good. Hopefully that bye didn't come at the wrong time for them as they were tearing it up, though. But Josh Jacobs, 77 yards and 2 touchdowns. in the last performance, so he was running hard. But the thing is, he's only getting 3.6 yards a carry, and you mentioned how stout that Tampa Bay defense is, mm-hmm. so that is going to be a tough part of this equation, finding a way to run the football with some form of effectiveness in this game is something they badly need. Devontae Booker had his best game of the season, contributing on the ground as well last game. And Waller, we know at tight end, one of the top receiving tight ends in football. In fact, Gruden would take him over any tight end. But they also have some young talent there. Henry Ruggs has been playing well. Last game was 118 yards and a catch, so that's pretty impressive. Aguilar also had a TD catch last week, 2 weeks ago technically. So they are getting it done. They're moving the ball around pretty nicely. On defense, they're near the bottom of the league, though, giving up 30 points per game. Ooh. So that's not going to be a good situation going against Tom Brady, dude. This is going to be a tough battle for these Raiders, but they are in
Vegas.
They're
not going to have the snow in there. They're not going to have the snow to help them this time. All right, Dave, up next, Monday Night Football, the Chicago Bears at our Los Angeles Rams. And the Rammies are 5.5-point favorites at home with an over-under of 46.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. It's the Bears.
And Napoleon Dynamite. What did you do, Fat Lord? Dang.
Dude, I will tell you, this Bears team at 5-1, I don't know, it seems like they're kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors, but obviously Nick Foles is kind of that glue guy there.
That's what he does, baby.
Yeah, just they don't care about the prettiness of the win. They just want to stick another notch in the W column. They're just finding a way to get it done. You know, they do have, obviously, David Montgomery running the ball pretty well, but it's only 3.7 yards a carry, which is one touchdown. Allen Robinson is a legitimate receiver looking to try and get, you know, that payday. But, they're just finding a way to sneak by and get W's. So we'll see how they do on the road here. Jimmy Graham last week with a pretty nice performance as well. I'm not sure how they can keep this magic rolling, but we'll see. On defense, Khalil Mack sacking a couple of tackles for loss last week. He's kind of coming on and doing his thing, and then Roquan Smith at linebacker, Danny Trevathan as well. They put together a pretty strong defense without a doubt, but they're going to need one against the Rams. Rams coming off that loss, they're going to get an angry Rams squad.
Yeah, both of these teams look pretty good, but it's hard to tell if they're great. I really do like that Bears defense, but the Rams have just been a little off. And last week, they can point to themselves about helping to lose that game. A missed PAT, a missed field goal, stuffed on a fourth and goal, a few drops, and some costly penalties, and you lose a game by 8 points in your division, man. You clean all that stuff up. They're bringing in Kai Forbath to work on that kicking situation. So hopefully that helps. But what's been kind of absent is the big play. I know Goff hit Josh Reynolds for a 40-yard touchdown against those Niners, but I haven't seen the big plays from Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods this year, man. That was money last year. Kupp, I think, had 10 receiving touchdowns last year, and he's only found the end zone one or two times this year. And Woods has been solid, but he's not getting the big, big play. And Higbee at tight end, he's kind of disappeared after start, too, man.
He finished last year strong, this year started strong, but, man, he's kind of fallen off.
Yeah, and, you know, it's been whoever's the healthiest, a three-headed monster at running back. They're trying to get all those guys healthy. So it's kind of a work in progress. Despite that, they're still kind of there. And, you know, last week they caught a desperate 49ers team after an embarrassing loss to the Dolphins. Yep. So you had the Niners well-focused. Obviously getting Jimmy G back helped them too. But this is a really big conference game for both of these teams, man. Mm-hmm. And if you want to look at these Rams, the good or bad news depends how you want to look at it. The Rams still have 5 divisional games left, including 2 against the Seahawks. So there's a lot to be written about their story. Same with the Bears. But if you're looking at a wild card, dude, picking up these wins against conference foes is a way to make sure that you're in there at the mix. So this is going to be a tough game, and whoever, you know, silly as it sounds, plays mistake-free football and makes the least amount of mistakes will win this game, dude.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. And obviously the Rams with Aaron Donald, dude, that guy
– yeah.
I mean, you just say that. Oof, Aaron Donald, man.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey's been playing great, too. You mentioned the trade. He's been really the last few weeks picking it up. So this is going to be a gut check time for both of these teams. So many good games this weekend, Dave, and so many ways to check out the football, dudes. This podcast that you're listening to right now, The Trend Zone, available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tons of videos there. Great content. Like us on Instagram. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA.
Yeah, dude. Or just go to footballdudes.com, man. That's where it's all at right there. And while you're there, make sure you check out the Twitter gallery. Tons of fantasy and league-wide information for you right there. That's footballdudes.com.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. For Dave, I'm Casey. Enjoy the games. Week 7, people, we are out of here.